Right, who's excited for today's worship? Right, come on, put your hands together for Peter Shirley.
It is great to be back in the West and great to be back at real life. I think it's been 5 years. Can you believe that? I have been in the West since Monday. This is my 10th meeting. And my voice is feeling it. So you got the Jimmy Barnes version this morning, which is something a little different. Yeah, I didn't call for requests, but thanks very much. Barnsey! All good. Well, I'm going to play some music and just share some stuff that's on my heart. So sit back and relax. If you don't like the violin, you're in trouble. Anyway, you get that. So, where's all the jazz fans? Okay. This is one for the jazz fans. It's supposed to be working, but it doesn't appear to be. It's all good. I'll start singing anyway. Well, I'm a stranger here, and I just rolled into your town. Well, I'm a stranger here, and I just rolled into your town. Because I'm a stranger, everybody loves to push me round and round and round. Ain't it funny how some people treat a stranger so? Funny how some people treat a stranger so. He may be your best friend that you will never know. Cause I'm a stranger here and I've just rolled into your town. Well, I'm a stranger here and I've just rolled into your town. Because I'm a stranger, everybody loves to push me around and round and round. I'm gonna ride home to daddy to send me my railroad fare. Gonna ride home with daddy to send me my railroad fare. And if you don't send it, then I've done my work in there. Cause I'm a stranger here and I just rolled into your town. Well, I'm a stranger here and I just rolled into your town. Cause I'm a stranger, everybody loves to push me around and round and round. Walk back home and wear a 99 pair of shoes. Home and wear a 99 pair of shoes. When I get back home, I won't sing me these stranger blues no more. Cause I'm a stranger here and I just rolled into your town. Well, I'm a stranger here and I just rolled into your town. Because I'm a stranger, everybody loves to push me around and round and round. Ain't it funny how some people treat a stranger so? Some people treat a stranger so. You may be your best friend that you will never know. Cause I'm a stranger here and I just rolled into your town. Well, I'm a stranger here and I just rolled into your town. Cause I'm a stranger, everybody loves to push me round and round and round. Thank you. you. All right, from the sublime to the ridiculous, where's all the country music fans now? Oh, look at that. Gosnells. Here we go. Thank you.
Captive free, and you did it all. You
did it all for me. Thank you. Well, I have a new album out, which is kind of really exciting, but the thing that's not exciting about it is that it's an album that coincides with the anniversary of 30 years since my first album was released. I don't know where that time's gone. If you have one of my first albums, I'm trying to buy them all back. But yeah, I have no idea where that time's gone. 18 albums over 30 years. So a couple of years ago, anticipating this significant anniversary, we put it out on social media just to ask for people's favourite songs of the last 30 years. And all those requests that came in essentially became the playlist for the new album. So we took 20 tracks, it's a double album, 20 of people's favourites, went back into the studio and totally re-recorded all of these songs from that period of time, which was just a joy to be able to do that. But anyway, that will be down the back this morning, double album. Who would like this? Young lady here, come on down. Fantastic. First hand up, see, look at that. What's your name? Correct. Very good. Fantastic. Enjoy that. No worries. Marissa, if you come and see me at the table afterwards, and give me $25, I'll give you the discs. No, they're in there. It's all sealed. So this song is on that album. It's based on Psalm 57. Again, I call to you, O Lord Most High. I lift my voice, I lift my cry, and your love and faithfulness reach out to me. For great is your love, reaching to the heavens above. Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy on me. I will make my refuge in the shadow of your wings. Have mercy on me, O God, until disaster ends. Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy once again. My heart is stayed, my spirit strong. Awake my soul, awake my song, and I will make your glory known to the nations. Forever I will sing, my praises I will bring.
Thank you. If you choose to buy the album, it is far less Jimmy Barnes. We're getting there. People often ask me what it is that inspires me as a songwriter, and I tell you, there's a whole bunch of stuff. Number one, no question, is just my faith. You know, the amazing, amazing journey of faith and trust in God. That started for me at the age of 23. And at that point, I was a touring musician playing professionally in pubs and clubs up and down the East Coast. And God showed up in my life in such an amazing way. Somebody asked me not too long ago, what was it that changed the most when I gave my heart to Jesus? And I had to think about that because there's a whole bunch of stuff that changes. But I think the most significant, almost instant change was a shift in heart and a shift in attitude, because I was this young guy, totally self-focused, totally driven, feeling this sense of entitlement that the world owed me a favor. And suddenly Jesus came in and began to change all that. And I recognized, you know what? It's not about me. and realizing what a blessed life that I lived. And I shifted from this sense of entitlement to this sense of gratitude. We have so much to be grateful to God for. And I've walked that journey now for many years. We're now in our 30th year of ministry. And that's just been the most amazing, amazing adventure. You know what God requires of his people? That we step out in faith and trust him. Don't try and map it out yourself. I could not have mapped out the last 30 years if he'd given me $1 million. God is an amazing God. He's an incredibly unpredictable God. And what we're going to do is just walk that journey of faith in obedience and trust and know that God opens the doors, know that God directs our steps, he directs our path, and to trust that he's got so much more for us than we could possibly plan for ourselves. So my faith is obviously number one inspiration. Family is a huge one. Been married to Kerry for 31 years. We have 5 kids. Rebecca's 28. Ben is married, 25. We've got Aaron, who's 17. Esther, who's 14. And Noah, who's 10. So we spread them out. But they are an amazing blessing. And one more sleep and I'll be home. And so family, I've always over the years written songs about family. The stuff of life. I mean, I just turn on the news at night and I get inspired to write just out of, I suppose, the angst of what's going on in our world and the need that our world has to return to the arms and the heart of our Saviour. This song was written out of one of the most defining moments in certainly recent history, in September 2001. And 9/11. And I can remember watching the news late that night and ended up sitting up right through the night just seeing that whole thing unfold. The only thing that I could utter was just one word, and it was the name of Jesus. I was going, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I remember 2 weeks after 9/11, I was watching the Larry King show late one night, and he had as his guest on the program Dr. James Dobson from Focus on the Family. At that time, he was certainly one of the highest profile Christian commentators. He was advisor to the president, and you could see that it was probably a bit of a setup because 9/11 was still the hot topic. So let's get the high profile Christian on the show and ask him the really hard questions. And so Larry King welcomes him to the program. He says, Dr. Dobson, thank you for being on the show tonight. And he said, tell me, was God in control on 9/11? But you know, Dobson just shot straight back and said, Larry, let me answer that question by asking you a question. And he said, is God in control of your life? And Larry King just stopped dead in his tracks. And you could just see him thinking. And he just ends up nodding and said, good answer. And it's the right answer. We can scratch our head at what's going on in the world and we can ask the question, God, where are you in the world? To which God would reply to each one of us, no, 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 different question. Where am I in your life? The reality is God hasn't forgotten humanity. The reality is humanity has forgotten God. And every single human being is as close to God as we choose to be. To the extent that we choose to keep God out, God will stay out. He forces himself on nobody. To the extent which we invite God in, into our world, into our lives, into our hearts, to flood us with his presence by his Holy Spirit. He will come in. He will fill us to overflowing. Because God in his sovereignty has chosen you and me to be the ones who fulfill his plan on the earth. I don't know why he chooses to do that. But that's his plan. His plan for people is people. His plan for the world is people. And the way our world begins to change is by people saying, God, have your way in me. That brings transformation personally, but then that flows on as we go and be the people that God has called us to be into our world, into our community. That God has called us, he's called you and I to be the continuing work of Jesus on the planet today. That's how he goes about redeeming. And so I don't know who you are this morning, but remember that you're as close to God as you choose to be. And in being here, I pray that God is speaking to your heart right now, and you need to say, well, you know what, God, I need to draw you into my experience. I need you to come into my life, because the reality for me and for my family is that we know a God who is in control, because we have allowed him that right. And for me, it is the greatest source of hope. It is the greatest source of security. It is the greatest source of peace. It is the greatest source of purpose. And I encourage you this morning to reach out to him and say, God, I invite you in. This song's called Mercy. Mercy, 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 mercy.
mercy on my soul. Mercy on my soul. Thank you. I would have been mid-20s. And I had a really close friend. He was a bit older than me. He was 32. Had a wife and a couple of young kids. He had to go into hospital for a pretty routine kind of procedure. But they actually did some further tests because they thought something was going on, and they actually discovered he was terminally ill. Totally unexpected. No signs. Within 2 weeks of that diagnosis, he had passed away. And for me, it was actually, that was the first experience in my life of somebody that close to me passing away. Pretty defining moment. And it seems like yesterday when I said my final farewells to him and went out to the car in the hospital car park and sat there, just overwhelmed by the grief and all the emotion that again was really new territory for me as a young guy. But this question began bubbling up within me. God, why? God, why? Why would you take a guy like that, supposedly before his time? Really wrestled with that. Can I say, for a lot of people, why gets in the way? A lot of people say, oh, well, you know, God, I don't know, I've got way too many questions. And why gets in the way? And I want to encourage you this morning, don't allow a why to stop you experiencing the fullness of God's love for you. Don't allow a why to be an obstacle that stops you discovering the awesomeness of who God is. The why for me continued. Sometimes whys in people's lives also cause them to backpedal a little bit in their relationship with God. Now, my experience of God at that age was way too rich and too deep. I chose to do the wise thing, which was to press into God instead of withdrawing. But the why remained. And I can clearly remember one night sitting in our room with an open Bible, continuing to pour my heart out to God. And I came across a passage of Scripture, which is probably familiar to most of us. It'll come up on the screen. The Apostle Paul writes this in Philippians 4 and 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Well, that's easy for you to say, God. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Wow. I kind of think that's what I've been doing. Presenting my requests to God. God, why? God, why? God, why? And I wasn't getting an answer. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And it goes on to say, and God will give you all the answers your heart desires. Is it a different translation, was it? Oh, hang on. It doesn't say that. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And it hit me. I've been asking for the wrong thing. I was asking why. I was asking for answers. And I should have been asking for peace. Let me say, God, in a very short space of time, absolutely true to his word,
overwhelmed me with a deep sense of peace. It was like saying, Pete, I got this. You're looking for an answer to an unanswerable question. I don't promise you answers. I promise you a peace that passes all understanding. A peace in the absence of answers. And if you've been a Christian for any length of time here this morning, you probably know exactly what I'm talking about. Because God is a God of peace, and he has this remarkable ability, even in the most desperate of circumstances, to overwhelm us with his presence and his peace that just allows us to know, you know what, God, you have got this. Thank you. Because here's the thing. The demand for answers comes from a place of inner turmoil. We're wrestling with something. It's creating a turmoil within us. And so we demand answers to that. But here is the wonderful end result of God's peace that passes all understanding, is that it removes the demand for answers because it quells the inner turmoil. And I can stand here this morning and tell you quite plainly, I don't know why my friend died at 32. But I can also say, I don't need to know, because in the place of an unanswerable question, I have a continuing, overwhelming sense of God's peace. Don't let your why get in the way. And something else that God showed me through that time, that's a great challenge. Peter, you need to learn to see things from my perspective. It's like, oh, okay, how's that? Because here's what we do in our humanity. And let me preface this by saying I'm not making light of human tragedy, because that is a tragic circumstance. For two young children to be left without a dad is a tragic circumstance. For a young woman to be widowed is a tragic circumstance. So it's not my intent to make light of that. When we grieve, God grieves. But in our humanness, we tend to assign value or worth to that which is measurable. So something has worth if it holds intrinsic value. Or in regards to a life, I can go to a funeral of a 32-year-old and there is a hopeless sense of grief and loss and the tragedy of that situation. But I can also go to the funeral of somebody who, a wonderful saint who served God all their lives and died at 98. And for some reason, that's a celebration because we seem to attribute greater value to that life. You know what I'm saying? But God doesn't attribute to us that kind of value or that kind of measure because he sees us from a different perspective. And if a group like this, he doesn't go around apportioning a value of time or a measure of time, saying 98 years or 84 years or 76 years or 32 years. God, for each one of us, has one measure: eternity, 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 eternity. What are you going to do with eternity? Because God's perspective on your life is an eternal perspective. An eternal life doesn't begin the moment you pass away and cross over into eternity. It actually begins the moment you give your life to Jesus. And I want to encourage you. Somebody once said, we're not human beings having a spiritual experience, we're spiritual beings having a human experience. That's powerful. So what's our priority? The Apostle Paul, I'm sorry, I don't have this scripture, but the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4 and 18. Yeah, it's not there. I don't have it, sorry. He says, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And Paul is reminding us, again talking about perspective, that everything in this life that we attribute value and worth to, it will perish, spoil or fade. But the unseen things of God and faith and his kingdom, relationship with him, They have eternal value. But we make a decision. What's most important to me? And I pray that you would be somebody who, as I have had to learn to do, grasps a hold of God's eternal perspective and recognize true worth and value is in the unseen things. Paul writes, and can bring these words up in 1 Corinthians 13 and 12, and he's talking about perspective here. Now, speaking of this life, in our human experience, now we see a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then, when we get to glory, we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, and because we know in part, often where there's gaps to be filled in, we start having a lot of questions. That's why we need God's peace. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. You know, I have so many people that say, you know, when I get to heaven, I'll have so many questions that I'll ask of God. And my answer is, no, you won't. Because the moment you cross over, you have a new mind, a new body, and you will know in full. And you won't be asking God questions. You'll be doing palm plants going, how stupid was I? Hanging on to stuff that I shouldn't have hung on to. Getting hung up about stuff I shouldn't have got hung up about. Living from such a temporal perspective when I should have been living with an eternal perspective. And I love this passage. We see a poor reflection as in a mirror. The King James rendering of that gives it some beautiful poetry. It says, now we look through a glass darkly, which it inspired this final song. And I've taken that rendering, and the song is called Looking Through Dark Glasses. One of the hardest things I've ever had to do is to sing this song last year at the funeral of my best mate's 17-year-old son. That was a hard, hard gig. Except for the fact that this family of rich and deep faith, this young man who knew Jesus, even in the tragedy of a life cut short, there was a wonderful and eternal hope. The song's called Looking Through Dark Glasses.
We're looking through dark glasses. At the Lord and all His ways. We're looking through dark glasses, confused and yet amazed. And though at times the view seems dim, all I can do is look to Him, and I'll trust and obey, for there's no other way to live. We're looking through dark glasses, searching for the light of day. We're looking through dark glasses, when only shadows light the way. And though the valley seems so deep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, and I'll trust and obey, for there's no other way to live. And as I look from my dim eyes, lift my head towards the skies. For a moment in time, the scales fell from my eyes, and I see you standing here with me. At the Lord and all His ways, we look Him through dark glasses, confused and yet amazed. And though at times the view seems dim, all I can do is look to Him, and I'll trust and obey, for there's no other way. Yes, I'll trust and obey, for there's no other way to live.
Would you pray with me? Let's pray together. Father, I just want to thank You for Your goodness. I thank You for Your faithfulness, Lord. Father, forgive us for our whys. Forgive us for questioning You, Lord God. Forgive us, Father, for having such a temporal perspective on life and the challenges of life and the trials of life and the difficulties, Lord. May they never, ever get in the way of appreciating and understanding Your eternal perspective. But Father, may we reach out in faith and just say, God, I don't know what's going on, but I trust You. I trust You, God. And Father, I pray for many this morning that You would manifest in our lives that wonderful peace that passes all understanding. Lord, we can't begin to fathom the unfathomable ways of God, a God who is so much higher than us, who, as Isaiah says, His ways are higher than our ways, His thoughts than our thoughts. And Father, it is in faith that we've got to trust You. Lord, may we be a people of faith. Speak to us in the midst of our circumstances, whatever those circumstances look like. We respond to You, God, in faith. And it may be that there are some here this morning, and I'm not going to dwell on this because you know if God's speaking into your heart, you know that there is a line in the sand time where you just got to say, you know what, God, I'm going to allow You to control my life. If I want to know a God who is in control, it means I've got to allow Him that right to be in control of my life, my circumstances. And if you need to know that hope this morning, if you need to know that assurance, if you need to know the depth of God's love, that He would send His Son Jesus to die on the cross for everything in your life that otherwise would separate you from God, all your sin, all your rebellion, all your failures, all your past, we bring that to the cross. And Jesus said, that's the stuff that I died for. I gave myself to be a sacrifice, so that you can be in right relationship with God. If you need to receive that good news into your life this morning, I want to pray for you. And while every head is bowed and while every eye is closed, if that's you this morning, just quickly raise your hand. I'll acknowledge it and you can put it straight back down again. If you're not in a right relationship with God, I just want to lead you in a very quick prayer. Thank you. Anybody else here this morning? Thank you. Awesome. Thank you. Fantastic. God's speaking to you. Just quickly raise your hand. This is just, hey, God, now's this moment. And I want to remember this. That's the day. That's the day eternal life began for me. Father, I thank you for those that are responding to you right now, Lord. And I pray, God, in every way, you would make yourself so real that they would know that they know that they know that God is real, that God loves me. And Jesus, thank you for dying on that cross for my sin. I confess my need for you. Forgive me. I bring you my failure, my past, my rebellion, my disobedience, my sin. I lay all of that at the foot of the cross. I want to be, as the Bible says, I want to be born again. Brand new start. Jesus, be my Lord. Come into my life and take complete control of it, I pray. That I'd know your hope and your purpose. That I would live every moment of every day with an eternal perspective. Know that I am saved for eternity. That no matter what happens in this life, when this life is done, I go on to that place where I'm in the very presence of God. A place where there are no more tears, no more pain, no more suffering. A place of perfection. Worshipping my God 24/7 for the rest of eternity. What a day that will be. I thank you that that begins right now for those who are saying yes to Jesus. Thank you, God, for speaking to hearts. May they leave here this morning totally changed and transformed. Never looking back, but powering on into all that which you have for them. And it is in Jesus' name we thank you and pray these things. Amen and amen. God bless you, church.